We have a passage, one of my favorites, from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." Paul's metaphor is earthen vessels. And the treasure, of course, is the subject of Lent, really. Looking ahead next week to Palm Sunday and Easter, the treasure is the message from God, the unequivocal and unmistakable message from God that you and I are worth the blood of his Son. Kind of an amazing thing. We have this in earthen vessels because we often as not don't fully get it. And even when we get it partly, it's hard for us to figure out how to act on what we've learned. So Paul calls us earthen vessels. I would call us cracked pots on a good day. Because on a bad day, we generally do okay. The catastrophic stuff we manage with some grace and dignity and through the help of others. And some of the catastrophes that people are going through in our company, even today, are being managed with rather extraordinary grace and dignity. But it's the little stuff that we drive ourselves crazy with, and yet the treasure speaks to that. And so what I want to talk about today is coping with the kinds of annoyances that brothers and sisters have or other things that we have to deal with that cause us grief mostly because we can't get out of our own way. How do we get out of our own way when we are consumed by guilt, when anger is feeding us, or when we wallow in self-pity? Guilt drives us crazy because we just don't get the message. We don't get the message of Lent. We are worth the body and blood of God's Son. Well, maybe everybody else is, but not us. Not me. Not after what I did. Or maybe more accurately, not after the person I know myself to be that nobody else really knows. God knows. And the good news, the news flash, is that we do have people in our lives that know us as well as we can be known and that do care for us and love us anyway. But it's hard to put that into practice. How do we cope when, in the middle of the night, the persistence of inadequacy seems to win? We're just not all God wants us to be. We're not all we hoped we'd ever be. And the secret is leaking out. How do we cope with that? People in 12-step programs have taught all of us a useful lesson. The phrase is "fake it till you make it." Or in Jewish tradition, "walk as if ye had faith, and faith will be given unto you." Even if you don't think you deserve it, give yourself a break just for practice. Silly little things that become metaphors for the treasure. Next time you go grocery shopping and you do all what you normally do in the grocery store, you buy a can of spaghetti sauce and some hamburger and maybe a package of chicken, and boy, those fillets look good, but oh, we're not worth it. Well, you don't say that. You say, oh, they're not on sale or some such thing. Every once in a while, pitch a fillet in your cart. Cook it up right. And get the message to yourself. You're worth at least this much. Victor Ashley bought himself a Harley a couple of years ago. For really silly reasons. It's a dangerous, dumb thing to do, and everybody knows it. But he decided, and God love him for it, that he was worth it. David Boren's ox is in the ditch this morning. No, it isn't. His go-kart is out on the ranch with his two kids. In one sense, a dangerous, silly thing to do. But you know what? Those kids will never forget this day. They will never forget it. And he's worth it. The kids are worth it. Every once in a while, even if, you know, an extra package of fillets are not your thing, I'm not going to pass up the smoked oysters in the grocery store next week. Nobody else that I know likes these things, but I do. and they're more expensive than they need to be, but just for fun. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And it gets you off of the idea that you're just not worth it, because you are. Why would God have gone to all the trouble of bleeding and dying for everybody but you? So get out of your own way. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But we are a work in progress. If I were to re-edit the Bible, I would take that little passage out of there where Jesus says, pray for your enemies and love those who persecute you. I wish he had never said that. But it's in all the translations, and it means exactly that. A coping skill. I was talking with a friend of mine many years ago in the aftermath of a day where both of us were visiting men who were imprisoned. And he was relating the story of having a conversation with one of the prisoners that went something like this. The prisoners told my friend that he was going to kill the guy in the next cell if the guy in the next cell didn't stop bugging him about something or other. I don't remember what it was. But we both knew that the guy who said, I'm going to kill him, imminently capable of doing exactly that, because that's what he was in prison for in the first place. He was capable of doing precisely what he threatened to do. And my friend, after hearing the story, looked him in the eye and said, because the guy didn't want to do it, this is the point. The guy said, how do I stop myself from doing what I'm capable of doing and very much want to do? And my very wise friend said, try praying for this guy. You can't hate someone you pray for. And of course, he makes a point, you can't. Now, everybody has people in their lives that they're not especially thrilled to have in their lives. And sometimes the heat of that tension causes us grief. How do we get out of our own way? Try praying for them. And I don't mean, dear Lord, strike them. Help them fail. Drive them as crazy as they're driving me. Now, at this point in this meditation, I need to tell you that I'm not there yet. And I'm very serious about this. If you can't think of anything to say when you're praying for your enemies, pray for me to pray for my enemies, because I need the help. Pray for their well-being. And do this not because they will ever know, but because it will help you get out of your own way and get in touch with the treasure of God's love. There's nothing that stops us from embracing the love of God more than our own persistent reluctance to give up our anger. And we will have to pray about that. And I am very serious that I need your prayers as badly on this one as you need your own. And finally, we wallow in self-pity, do we not? At some point in our lives, maybe on a weekly or monthly basis, we regret not having tried this or done that, and ain't it awful for poor me? Well, that one will really stick you in the mud. I mean, that's why we have pharmaceutical companies doing a good business in antidepressants and other medication to get us off of or give us a half a chance to stop doing this. Well, one way that we can help that is to do what I call count the rainbows. Powerful metaphor in the Old Testament when God drowned us, all but one of us and his family. So goes the story. When it was all over and the flood was receding, a rainbow showed up in the sky. And this was the image of God's never-failing presence and promise never to abandon us again. And after thunderstorms, often as not, we find a rainbow. And I mentioned earlier that we're pretty good in a catastrophe at understanding this. How many people have you heard on the news in the last couple of days that are in Clovis that said, at least we didn't get killed, at least we have our people? That's the rainbow at the end of that. I mean, the storm was devastating. They lost everything. And they were able to say, at least we're still here. Well, dial the intensity of the issue back a little bit. And as you're finding yourself having trouble going to sleep, don't count sheep, count rainbows. And there are always one or two things that happen to you that day that at least are more colorful than what's keeping you awake. So count the rainbows, intentionally let them give rise to more. There are never failing rainbows in my life that I take far too often for granted. People in my family, the opportunity I have to do what seems like useful work. And at any moment I can resurrect the feeling of being loved by someone. I can start there, counting the rainbows, this treasure that is God's never failing love that somehow impelled him to go to the cross and back for me and you. Well, that's what we use to get us through the day. So buy yourself a jar of olives or something. Pray for the strength to pray for those who persecute you, if nothing else. And count the rainbows, and it will become ever more true. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, cracked pots, all of us, so that we never, and do not today, lose heart. Amen. And may the peace we find in the rainbows of each other give us strength, courage, and hope. Amen.